Good leadership can be hard to define, but we all know it when we see it. I'm Anu D, CEO of Silicon Republic, and this is The Leader's Room, a new series we're making in partnership with IDA Ireland. In this episode, we'll be exploring leadership in the tech sector with a focus on, not surprisingly, artificial intelligence, but also on big tech's role when it comes to climate change mitigation. But first, a word about our partners, IDA Ireland. The series features success stories of companies that have flourished within Ireland's open economy, and IDA Ireland is committed to helping these businesses transform and thrive with supports across R&D, sustainability, digitalization, and talent development. To see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay, visit idaireland.com. I'm delighted to share my conversation with Ray McGann. Ray is the Managing Director of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, or HPE, in Ireland. And indeed, he provided us with a handy explanation of the current structure of what was once just HP, but since 2015 is made up of four different divisions, one of which is HPE. We spoke about how HPE is leading and responding to the advancements in artificial intelligence, or AI. And you hear Ray mention HPE's latest offering, HPE GreenLake. That's its portfolio of cloud and as-a-service solutions that runs on an open edge-to-cloud platform. And I also wanted to get Ray's views on the recently passed EU AI Act and how it's going to impact those looking to do business in Europe. I must say, I very much enjoyed our chat. I hope you did too. Okay, so I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Ray McGann, Managing Director, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, that's HPE Ireland. So we usually like to start these conversations by getting a kind of the human side, Ray. So to get a little bit of a sense of your journey to where you are now.
So, born in Ennis, County Clare, one of six boys, five of whom became teachers. So we started our journeys as teachers, but we took a career break in the late 80s and we went to London and I found an opportunity to join Woodchester. So for most people, they will remember Woodchester as a significant Irish financial services company, which got acquired and acquired and acquired, but it was a great foundation. But I stayed in the financial services industry. So working then for many years with the like of Bank of Scotland, with KBC. But in about 99 or so, I ventured into what I would call the American Technology Financial Services Organizations. And I took a significant career shift. And I went into managing the operations of the shared services for the financial back office for Lucent Technologies in Europe. And that was a crash course in learning how a company actually worked. It was probably the best thing I ever did because it gave me a real rounded sense of, yeah, I had a lot of experience in commercial sales, but I didn't have any real appreciation for back office, support office, you know, asset management. So I ran that for about 5 years. And then I got a call to come back to HP.
And your managing director now, I mean, I'd love to get your view on, you know, what makes a good leader.
You know, I think you have certain attributes that you bring to the role and to your career. And then you have people you have admired, people you have taken guidance from. And by the time you reach a role that you have a leadership role or a senior leadership role, you've had all those influences. You listen to the way they communicate, listen to how they get, you know, messages in tough times, messages in good times, and how they moderate between and how they can keep motivating people through. Because ultimately, what we're all looking to do is take the group of people we have and develop solutions and develop engagements with our customers and partners to the benefit of the customers and partners and to the benefit of the organization we're leading. So I think when you put it all together, it's a combination for me of all of those components, but being able to take feedback, you know, because the fact that you perceive yourself to be in a leadership role doesn't mean you know all the answers. And the more open you are to feedback, the more you get it.
Coming back then to HPE itself, you know, maybe you'd tell us a little bit about the organization and what you're up to.
So if I take HP, you know, it's 1939 when it started with Dave and Bill Hewlett and Packard to create an oscillating machine that was used in some of the early Disney movies to create animation. And they're quite famous in terms of their approach to profitability and making money was secondary, if not tertiary. Their approach was make good products that serve your marketplace. International expansion started in the 50s. We in Ireland had a relationship with the group from 1971, so 52 years, which is huge legacy in a technology space. And in 2015, the organization broke into four. The four were HP, and that is the PC print technology organization. The second group is Hewlett Packard Enterprise. That's the data center, storage, networking, wireless, and compute organization. And then DXE. And then the final component of the group was Micro Focus, who are the software organization. So those four broke into independent companies in 2015. And we still get, you know, hey, my printer is wonderful or my printer isn't wonderful and can you help me fix the printer? Or I'm looking to get some PCs. And the country manager, Neil Dover, for HP, is somebody we know well, we get on well with, and we often refer each other to opportunities. But I can tell you my first interaction with family when the announcement was made in November of last year of the new role of being the Ireland Managing Director was, hey, my printer's not working. I thought, well, if my family don't know, with this extended family, I have to say, but if they're thinking that we're still PCs and print, then clearly it's in the consciousness. It's still in, and it's a fantastic legacy, and I don't think anybody in the HP or HPE group see it as anything other than a positive. So 2015 were four different companies.
I'm keen to ask you about those kind of areas that keep leaders awake at night, and very relevant, I think, to HPE. Tell me a little bit, if we can start with AI, your own thoughts on the kind of the challenges, the myths.
It is a very difficult thing for people to get their heads around and to distinguish between what is fanciful and what is fact. The enormous capacity of AI to do incredible work in medical research, in diagnostics, in drug development, in predictive analytics, whether it's in climate prediction, whether it's in development of new wind turbines that actually are far more efficient, far more sustainable, and far more reliable, or whether it's in supply chain, food chains. You know, so when we look at it from that vantage point to say, that's where we put our time and effort into and our energy into. But I think we step back a little bit and say, well, what are the frameworks that guide the engagements on AI? And first of all, you have, you know, the like of the EU AI Act, which, you know, has just limped its way across December 8th or 9th. But if you want to do business in EU, the framework that has been established by the EU bodies is actually a very sense-based and risk-based approach to AI and use of AI. And that will ensure and gives us confidence that ultimately you're looking at all of the risks associated with it and you're regulating around it and you're ensuring that if you want to do business in the European Union, which is one of the single biggest markets in the world, you have to comply. But I think individual companies, because, you know, I think all of us know that legislation typically follows a little late. So that then puts responsibility back on our organizations and on HPE specifically. What have we done? Well, we have an ethics compliant committee setting out our charter for how we engage with AI and how we engage it for both ourselves and for our customers and partners. And it's based on sort of five principles. And that committee are responsible for the principles. So one is privacy. So the privacy of the individual is protected. The second one is H for humanity or human rights as part of your framework to ensure that you haven't infringed human rights. The next one is inclusive. Have you looked at bias in the way you're developing your tools and services? The next two are then it's responsible. It's responsible use of the tool sets and then robust. Is it secure? Is it recoverable in the sense of a disaster recovery? So they're the five principles that HPE at an executive level set out.
We also mentioned that idea of sustainability, obviously, is kind of on everybody's minds as well. And I suppose the role big tech can play in climate action.
In 1992, all of the equipment that we make was designed for reuse. And that's a significant, you know, mindset, because it says, okay, we put all of this raw materials, we've done the engineering, we've manufactured the equipment, we've put it out into the open market, but it comes back in 3 or 5 or 10 years' time and can't be used by anybody. You can't retro fix that problem. You have to forward fix that problem. And so HP has at its core that mindset that every device we have will be reusable. Might be a fridge, might be in a car, but it will be used. So we take it back, ensure it's managed properly, and then we rehouse it, rehome it. They're running in at the moment, globally, around 95% of what we get back in the compute part of our business finds a new home.
Wow.
98% of the client devices, so our HP colleagues, gets back into a new use.
Well, our partners on this series are IDA Ireland, and I can't let you go without asking you about where HP Ireland fits into the organization globally, and I suppose where IDA has been supportive.
I think culturally, one is around volunteering. From a worldwide basis, you know, they're quite amazing statistics. There's over 100,000 hours of employees on their own time, supported by the company, facilitated to do engagements, charities, local engagements. But then you have the financial match. So HPE will financially match the employees' contributions, and that's running into millions on a global basis. But in Galway, you know, what we see, we have the Global Girl Guides and the digital education. So teaching that community the impact of digital engagements, you know, digital environments. Second one that has been very important here in Ireland that the team in Galway have been supporting is Safe Ireland. And looking at the way tech can be used for coercion. So there's a very strong program run with Safe Ireland that our three colleagues in Galway have sponsored. And then the most recent one is the Princess Eugenie anti-slavery program. So for me, that's kind of the broader HPE, its social value as well as its engagement with end users and customers and partners. And I think my gratitude to the IDA really centers around the way they helped HPE in Ireland describe the talent pools, the wealth of engineering, research and development, and engineering capabilities that we have in the west coast of Ireland, the other companies that are here. So you've got that great ecosystems that, and clustering that has happened. And that was a story that IDA were able to articulate really well for our leadership and help us make the case that this is really a good place. And I'm delighted to say that we as an organization have really embraced Galway as the global center of excellence for the platform development, HPE GreenLake platform development. So we've had significant new jobs and that will continue. And in fact, we're looking to support Irish companies and Irish partners to come to Galway to meet the engineers who are building the new platforms, to say, well, what would you need? What would make sense to you to help you and enhance your business? So bringing that engineering and development people together with real customers who have real needs. And so we're looking to develop that kind of relationship based out of here, based out of Ireland, based out of Galway, to really enhance our own HPE platform, but also enhance the service offering to companies. So, you know, I like to think many years from now, there'll be somebody in a very important engineering job that won't quite remember how this all came together, but that's how it came together.
And I suppose kind of to wrap up, we always like to look to the future. And just if you were to pull out a few briefly, you know, sort of trends for the future, what should we look out for in the coming years?
Yeah, there's no question that AI and machine learning and automation are going to be a very significant part, but it's a very positive. With that regulation framework that helps create the guidelines that we will operate within, I think from a general perspective, to operate and engage in a AI platform or an AI service within your own organization is far harder than people think. Mm-hmm. Accenture reckon that it's about 75% of companies say it's primary, very important, going to divert funding from whatever to support that. Same survey, a study said 89% people are not sure how to do it. So it probably tells you it's far more complex than people think. You know, so from our vantage point, we've invested forward in some of our acquisitions. So we acquired Cray Computing, which is supercomputing. And we've got Frontier Computing in the US. We've got Kerstal Computing. And we have got Polaris Computing. All of those are with data organizations, with US energy organizations, heavily focused on climate change, medical advance, diagnostics, wave patterns, wind patterns, renewable energy. So that is the supercomputing end of it. So our view is that AI is going to be part of our long-term journey. And the last piece, I think, which is critical to us for the future, is the democratization of AI. So if you're a small entity and you have a lot of data in your system, you don't have the compute power, because it is data and compute power that takes all that mass, all that unstructured data, and makes sense of it. It's huge compute power required to make that into insights. So you're not going to be able to afford that. But our view is, if we create with relationships and partnerships on our HPE GreenLake platform, that you can come on, buy a slice of supercomputing, then we will enable any size of organization to take advantage of the benefits.
It's like supercomputing as a service, isn't it?
Supercomputing as a service. And I mean, that's how it has to be democratized. Yeah. Otherwise, it becomes a non-AI enabled world and an AI enabled world, and you get that huge classic divide happening, yeah. You know, the haves and have nots. Yeah.
Well, Ray McGann, we could talk all day about the future of computing and AI and you name it, but it was fantastic to have you here in the studio with us. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I'm one of those who believe big tech has big responsibilities and a key role to play when it comes to climate action. The issue of e-waste probably doesn't get the attention it deserves. It's considered to be the fastest growing waste stream in the world, with many millions of tons going to landfill every year. The WHO says the millions of electronic devices and appliances discarded every year present a major threat not just to the environment, but to human health. So I was very taken with HP's place in the circular economy and its very strong reuse policy, which gives IT hardware, from servers to networking products, a new lease of life, thus reducing the environmental impact from that tech disposal. Even where the products are not suitable for reuse, at HPE they are processed to recover materials that can then be used to manufacture new products. So HPE certainly seems to be walking the talk when it comes to reuse instead of e-waste. I also enjoyed Ray's take on leadership with an open mind, where you're always learning and you're always open to feedback, and indeed you make it known that you're open to feedback. It seems like an eminently sensible approach in such a rapidly changing sector as tech. And finally, when it comes to the future, I love Ray's thinking around the democratization of AI. If AI has the transformative potential we all believe it has, it clearly can't only be in the hands of the few. So offering even the smaller organization access to supercomputing as a service seems like a pretty important piece of the bigger puzzle as we head into this brave new AI future. Thanks again to our series partner, IDEA Ireland. You can see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay by visiting IDEAIreland.com or visit SiliconRepublic.com and look for the Leaders Room, where you can find video versions of all our podcast interviews.